Hey everyone, you're listening to a message from Pastor Matt Erickson. This week, we'll be studying Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 under the theme, Glory to God in the Highest. This is the fourth week of our Advent series, The Canticles of Christmas. Check out this week's study guide and more Advent resources on our website at eastbrook.org/sermons.
Well, let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your light that shines into our world. Thank you that you are a God who draws close to us. And so we do pray that in this time of worship around your word, that God, you would speak right into each and every one of our lives, right where we're at. Each one of us carries into this time of worship different things in our lives, different concerns, maybe different joys, different burdens, things that we're anticipating. And so, Lord, we open ourselves to you and ask that you would have your way in us. Exalt the name of Jesus in our midst. Bring us into an encounter with you, God. And my prayer always is, Lord, that I can decrease so that you would increase. We've come here to meet with you, the living God. Nothing else will satisfy us, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. About 5 years ago, I had an opportunity to be part of a trip visiting some of our field workers in another part of the world, in the Horn of Africa. The work they do there, part of it is some work with adventure tourism. And so part of that trip, we went to one of the places they would take some of their workers and went out towards the edge of the beach and we're gonna actually snorkel. And it wasn't something really I had done before. It's not like my experience. But what's amazing thing about the place we're in, when you would look at the country that they work in, it can be kind of a barren place. But when you get into the water and you begin to look under the surface of the water, there are things that are just astounding. The sort of expanse of reefs that are there, some of the coral that swirls in different and unique shapes. And every bend as we were going along, you would see these different groups of fish with so many different iridescent colors under the water, so many different shapes and designs. It was like just, to me, it was just like an amazing thing that you could be looking above the water and see like a barren landscape and go underneath and you would see this glorious, wonderful place. I don't know if you've ever had an experience in your life where you felt like glory broke in. Maybe you wouldn't use those words, right? It feels like maybe like a little poetic or maybe a little too churchy. If you've had an experience where it seems like something just amazingly good happened unexpectedly, or where you had an experience of just awe or wonder about something, there's those times where it feels like something just breaks in a way that you didn't expect. And that's part of where we find ourselves in the story that we're gonna look at today out of the Gospel of Luke as we continue our Canticles of Christmas series. We come to this moment, and I hope you don't mind, we're getting a little out of order here. We're jumping over the birth of Christ. Don't worry, we will give attention to that. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but we're jumping over that to right after that, the song of the angels with the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. I love it if you just turn there with me. It's going to be on the screens as well. Beginning in verse 8 of Luke 2, it says this: there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. That's nearby the city of Bethlehem, sorry, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. If you're wondering why that's the description of them all through the scripture, whenever God or his messengers appear kind of breaking in from heaven as these angels are representing the glory of God, it's an overwhelming experience. And so whether you're talking about Isaiah, the prophet in Isaiah chapter 6 in the Old Testament, or you're talking about John on the island of Patmos at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation when the glorified Jesus appears, or these shepherds here, when there's an inbreaking of God, his messengers from heaven in a way that just sort of pulls back the veil. It's an overwhelming experience to have the holiness, the majesty of the divine breaking in as these angels represent God's presence here in this moment. And it takes such an overwhelming experience of the holiness and the wonder and the majesty, the glory of God, it takes sort of your breath away and can leave you feeling unworthy of that. And so there's always this moment of God breaking in or the angels breaking in and then sort of saying, hey, don't be afraid, which is what does happen here. This glory that's happening as the angels come in, it says the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of God shines around them. That Greek word doxa comes originally from the sense of someone having a good reputation. And so when you think of glory, I want you to put in your minds this, that it's speaking about the sort of character, the reputation of God. It's like the nature of God, the character of God is being opened wide in front of people. And so they're seeing the greatness of God through this angelic appearance, and they're seeing the goodness of God through this angelic appearance. And this is something that's, I think, one of the most marvelous things about the Gospel of Luke that we've been going through. It's that God, the God of the universe, has this way of relating to humanity that we see through all the stories we've looked at up to this point, that God doesn't go to the likely, but to the unlikely. Not to the powerful, but to the poor and the powerless. Not to those who have high reputation, but to those who are, in a sense, nobodies. We've seen that all through the Gospels. We've seen that God doesn't come to the courts of the kings. His birth isn't pronounced in the center of the city of Jerusalem. Instead, it's outside of Bethlehem, not to the movers and the shakers, but to these shepherds who are basically everyday workers. It's not to princes, it's to Joseph and Mary, who, even though they're somebody to God, in the grand scheme of the way that the world measures power, Mary and Joseph are nobodies. Elizabeth and Zechariah, who get that miracle baby, John the Baptist, they're not really great and powerful people. And this is a theme of the Gospel of Luke, that God is appearing to nobodies. And this is good news for us. It's good news for us because as the angel appears with the glory of God surrounding to the shepherds out in the night sky around Bethlehem, I don't know what pictures you have of the shepherds from the Christmas cards that maybe you've received, and they are freshly groomed at a barber shop and they're squeaky clean and their outfits. I mean, the shepherding is interesting. It has a lot of strong resonance in the imagination of the Hebrew people because God is sometimes referred to as a shepherd, right? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherding speaks of the way God cares for his people. It also spoke of how the kings were supposed to care for the people of God. It says at the end of one of the Psalms that David shepherded his people with integrity. And so this image of shepherding had a good mindset, but it was also kind of a basic job. It was not like the pinnacle. It was sort of a basic blue-collar job, an ordinary job. And it's a surprise that not only does God appear to the unlikely like Zechariah and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary, but here appears the first pronouncement of this child's birth comes to these ordinary people in their workplace. This is really good news for us because we don't have to be powerful to have God do something in our lives. We don't have to be significant in the world's way of counting things to be able to earn God's touch upon our lives. God is the kind of God, mighty and holy as he is, who turns towards us. In fact, the movement of God in Scripture is a God who is great, who descends, who stoops down, who reaches into the lives of ordinary people just like you, just like me, to touch our lives right in the places where we live, right in real life, right even in our workplaces. God shows up and he's doing something. This is good news. In fact, that's actually what the angel says here. This first angel, it says, who appears to them. The angel said to them, verse 10, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host, the angels, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." after relieving the shepherds of their terror at what's happening, the angel brings them good news. That word is the word from which we get gospel, euangelion. It just means a good message. The angel says, I've got a good message for you. A message of great joy for everybody. Not just the powerful, not just the elites, not just for Joseph and Mary, not just for Zachariah and Elizabeth, not just for you shepherds. There's joy coming to humanity, and it's linked with what I'm about to tell you. The angel says, this is a good word with great joy. And the announcement is this, that God is brought a miracle baby. And we've heard about this child already. We've heard as Gabriel spoke to Mary that this child that's coming is going to reign on the throne of David in fulfillment of one of the prophecies all the way back in the Hebrew Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God said there's an eternal kind of king who's going to come in and going to reign on the throne. We've heard that this child is going to be in Matthew chapter 1 in the dream to Joseph, that this child should be named Jesus, and that he's going to save his people from their sins. The sins, the things that separate us from God, the things that we do that dishonor ourselves and others and God, the things that we fail to do, that fail to bring God's goodness and love into the lives of others, ourselves, and fail to honor God. All of these things, Joseph hears from the angel, this child is going to resolve those things, save us from them. We've heard in Zechariah's song that this child is going to come and rescue us from our enemies and bring in a new era of the mercy and the goodness and the holiness and the righteousness of God. And now the angels declare it, echoing the word to Mary, echoing the word to Joseph, echoing the word to Zechariah, that this child that's coming is three things. I don't know if you noticed that. A Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. The Savior, this child that's coming in is going to save the people. Save them certainly from what's happening around, but save us from those enemies that we all face. The power of death, the power of sin, the power of evil that grips our lives. This child will deal decisively with those things. This child will be a Savior. This child will be a Messiah, the one who fulfills all the promises towards which the prophets have pointed all through the scriptures. This child is going to bring those things to fulfillment that God has been leaving sort of breadcrumbs throughout the scriptures up to this point. And this child will be the Lord, God himself coming in the flesh. And here's one thing that's amazing about this verse here in Luke. There is no other place in the New Testament that these three terms appear together to describe Jesus. The angel is trying to tell the shepherds and us through them something significant about Jesus. There is a lot wrapped up in this baby that's coming. And then I don't know where you find yourself today. I'm not sure what is going on in your life or what you bring into this place. But the word to the shepherds is a word to us too. That the God of the universe, who could ignore us because of his greatness, and instead chooses to bring that greatness into our lives. The God of the universe who could turn away from us because he's holy and we are not perfect. If you didn't know that about yourself, let me tell you. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. Because of that, God could pull away from us. Instead, that God turns towards us. And some of us who may not feel good enough for even people in our lives, let alone the God of the universe, that God steps towards us to shower us with his goodness and to reach out to us through Jesus Christ, the incarnate Messiah, with the divine embrace. This God is doing something new, not just for the shepherds, not just 2,000 years ago, but right now today, God wants to do something in our lives. Praise God that he's a God who bends towards us. Praise God that he doesn't leave us on our own, but steps towards us and actually works the saving work for us at Jesus on the cross. Praise God that he showers us with his goodness and greatness, and that his glory now displayed around the angels in this moment, it is irradiating into the ordinary places where you and me and ordinary shepherds and unlikely Joseph and Mary, the real life where we live, the God of glory chooses to draw near right there. Do you find yourself hungry for that? Do you find something in your soul saying, I want that. Some of us today may find ourselves at a kind of crossroads where we know we need to begin with God. Let this story be the beginning of experiencing God's glory in Jesus Christ. Reach out to him. Just say, God, I need you. Some of us may find ourselves at other crossroads or at a pivot point in our life. We've walked with God, but we've forgotten that God cares about us. Or there's things that have happened in our life that have made us feel like God is at a distance. Be reminded again of the greatness that God has drawn close. And some of us, we've turned away, and it's time to draw back and get this touch from God again, to restart with God in our lives. Just call out to him, each and every one of us. It's interesting in this place that it says, this will be a sign to you, verse 12, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths. Now, this is not very out of the ordinary, because if there's gonna be a Messiah, the Messiah has to be born somewhere, sometime. So the Messiah is gonna be a baby somewhere. And if there's gonna be a rescuer, a savior, sometime that's gonna have to happen. But the sign is this, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I keep trying to think about what's the like comparison today, because you know, the shepherds, they worked with animals a lot, and they knew that animals are not clean. And the angel says, there's a savior, there's a Messiah, there's the Lord moving in right now, and guess what? He's in a dog bowl. Like, I mean, that's kind of the comparison. You're like, and actually, a dog bowl for us today is probably cleaner than the place that Jesus was laying. They did not dry clean the straw before they put him in it. He is in a place that is gritty and ordinary. And that speaks volumes to us. Where does God come? Not just into the clean, appropriate places, but into the messy, dirty, gritty places where we live our life. The Savior of the world comes there and moves in so that we might let God's redeeming power, let God's presence move into the gritty, dirty places of our life too and bring glory there. Anybody got some grit in their life? Anybody got some dirt in their life? Anybody got messy places? Places you don't think God should belong? Guess what? This tells us God wants to step into those places. He is not grossed out by it. In fact, Jesus the Messiah starts his life on earth there, and the glorious angel says, this is the sign, don't miss it. Praise God. And suddenly all this huge heavenly host, this angelic choir leaps forth as if affirming this mystifyingly strange reality that God is coming into the ordinary, God is coming into the mess, God is bringing salvation and the messianic king and his lordly presence right into those places. The angels can't hold back, they just burst forth, and timing is everything, right? It's not when he says good news of great joy, it's when the angel says, this is the sign, Messiah in a manger, and they're like, boom! Didn't see that one coming. I gotta sing about it. Glory to God in the highest heaven, up in the place where God rightly dwells and lives in the radiant presence of God. Let glory be given to him. And here on earth, let's see God's shalom, his true peace, the world being made right by God entering in. The angels cannot help but sing glory. Here's a self-giving God who has displayed who he is, his reputation now seen in this child in a manger. All the angels can do is sing glory to God. Glory to God. Have you ever had times where you wanted to like sing glory? Okay, again, maybe that's, it just sounds like very religious. But like you see something, like me plunging my head under the water in the Horn of Africa region and seeing all this radiant, glorious beauty. I didn't like, especially because I had a snorkel in my mouth, I didn't start singing glory to God. But there's things in our lives where God shows up and it just does something to us. I'm not here to diminish those things. I'm here to actually take those ordinary things and say, let's give God glory for them. For the gift of a new child or the relationships in your life where you experience love, thank God for that. Let's be people who give God the glory. Let's give God glory for simple experiences of grace, like the kindness of a stranger who does something nice for us, or the specific act of service, the card, a visit, or something else where we experience grace from God and love from God. Let's give God glory for those things. Let's give God thanks and glory for the things that we have experienced powerfully in our lives. Even the places where now we feel lost in grief, let's remember that some of those places are places where we feel that because there was someone who we loved so much and loved us so much. Let's not fail to give thanks to God for not the grief, not the loss, but the presence of that person in our lives. And even more than those things, as the angels declare the glory of God, let me encourage us to join with the angels' song and give glory to God, not just for the ways that we experience in the everyday things, his goodness and his grace and his mercy, but let's praise him for that one significant act above all others where God moved into the neighborhood. Let's, like the angels, sing our hearts out. Glory to God in the highest, because he's worthy. He's worthy of praise. I love that the story doesn't stop there. You know, like the curtain drops, grand finale, and we don't know the rest of the story. I love the fact that after this, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and I wonder what it sounded like, the angels there, and I wonder what their ears felt like after it was all over, what their eyes felt like. And the shepherds said to one another, let's head on over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. That's the sign. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just as they had been told, the child lying in the manger, Messiah in a manger. And I think the shepherds must have had these huge smiles on their faces. Probably not big enough of a face for the smile that was there as they said, this is just like what the angel said. This is so, if it wasn't God, we'd say it's insane. And I think they're telling Mary and Joseph what the angel said to them. And as the shepherds are in awe, Mary and Joseph take these things in, and it says Mary begins to ponder and treasure these things in her heart. Oh, Mary, this woman who has heard the word of God. And I sometimes wonder, did Mary doubt in that 9 months whether she was delusional or whether this was God? She's carried the Savior, and she's also carried some of the shame of people thinking she's having an illegitimate child. And then when this child is born, suddenly these shepherds come with this angelic visitation and message, and Mary just soaks that in and ponders in her heart, this little child. We hear that phrase one other time later on when Jesus is about 12. It says that they went to the temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus confounds the religious leaders, and it says Mary treasures this in her heart. Over the course of her life, Mary taking these things and storing them away as the shepherds in wonder, so Mary quietly in her heart in wonder over this child that she's brought into the earth. And every mama knows what that's like, because you think your kid's the best thing in the world. But in Mary's case, yes. And it's likely that Luke has gone in his gathering of the stories to interview different people, and I imagine him interviewing Mary and Mary saying, I've treasured in my heart things no one else remembers. And I want to share those with you, Luke, so you can share them with others. Proud mama, yes. Real disciple, too. Worshiping the Savior, that in the wonder of it all, God used her to bring into the world. Mary glorifies God by treasuring and pondering these things. And then it says this, that the shepherds spread the word of God's glory. They begin to tell this wondrous story all over Bethlehem. There's this rumor going around that some crazy shepherds who had an image of angels in the middle of the night are saying that there's a Messiah, a Savior, the Lord actually born here in Bethlehem. And the word began to shockingly go around, I think. People may not have believed it. As these ordinary people, these unlikely people involved in the story are talking about God moving into the ordinary spaces. And here's a fundamental formula that we can all bring into our ordinary lives. When God does something, God uses ordinary people to tell about it. The first evangelists in the Gospel of Luke are the shepherds. The first evangelist in the Gospel of John is the Samaritan woman at the well who brings her whole community back to Jesus. Don't you love the fact that God is using people on the edges to tell the story and to shock people into the reality of the good news that means ordinary people can be touched by the glory of God. And then it says this, that they got contagious with the song of the angels. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Do you wonder if they were saying glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace on those to whom God gives his favor? It's like the song is contagious. You ever been someplace where a song gets contagious? Somebody starts singing something, and even if you don't really want to and you feel childlike, suddenly you find yourself joining in with the song. Or if you're maybe even embarrassed, you don't know, but you still find yourself motivated to do that. You ever been to a sports gathering where somebody starts chanting something and the next thing you know, thousands of people are chanting the same thing? It's like that contagion, in a good way, gets inside of the shepherds. And so the angel's song becomes the shepherd's song, becomes probably somebody else's song. Does it become our song too? Because all through the Gospel of Luke, chapters 1 and 2, there is a song that God is singing. He's singing it into Zechariah's life, the angel at the altar who astounds Zechariah. He can't take it in, and so his song becomes silence until the baby John is born. He's singing a song, the living God, into the life of Elizabeth, an old woman who had been childless all her life and now has a miracle baby, John the Baptist, who has a role in God's salvation story. God's singing a song into the life of Mary, this unlikely teenage girl who becomes the mother of the Savior. God is singing a new song. It's a good news type of song. He's singing a song into the life of Joseph, who probably would have been better served if he had cast Mary off, but instead responds to the word of the angel in the middle of the night to him and takes her as his wife. God is singing a song through the angels in the dark of the night into the lives of these shepherds, and that song is being sung through creation. It has reached its fever pitch in the Savior of the world who has broken in Jesus, the Messiah, who goes on to sing his song of good news in the kingdom of God into a world that has lost its song. Jesus has come to bring in the melody. Don't you want to sing? It's like a good contagion. That's a terrible image. But it's like a song that you just can't not sing. Friends, as we come near to this week of Christmas and we're about to celebrate the birth of Jesus, can I encourage us to join the song, to tell the story? There's a world all around us that has lost the song. And the God who has sung creation into being at the very beginning of time, it will wrap it up at the return of Christ in a new heaven and a new earth. That God is still singing his song into the lives of people who are lost, who are wandering, who feel broken down and in need. And he's sending us out with the song of the angels in our hearts, with the song of Jesus, that good news song coming through us. May we be people who sing the glory of God and tell the glory of God, that ordinary people might also see that they too are significant to the God of the universe. There's a Messiah in the manger, and God is moving into the mess. Let's sing about it. Let's tell about it. Amen? Let's pray. I'm just going to ask you and myself to just to be still. just to take a pause here for a moment and just ask God, Lord, what is it you're speaking to me today? Thank you, living God, for your work in our world, for your work in and through the lives of ordinary people like us. May you have your way in us, leading us into joy, leading us into peace, leading us into your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Matt Erickson. At this time, we welcome you to join us in person for our weekend services, or join us online at eastbrook.org/at-home. For more information on Eastbrook, visit our website at eastbrook.org.